Many years ago, we lived next to the Brenleys, who were the managers of the Diamondbacks. And my wife interceded on her face the ninth inning. And the Diamondbacks won, beat the Yankees in 2001. And Mary, even though she didn't get a ring, in heaven she'll get the reward. Pushing them across the finish line. Beginning a series this morning called A Whole Nother Level. God has, no matter where you are, God has some wonderful, exciting news for you. He's taking you to another level. The church is never stagnant. The church is never permanent. The church is always moving with God. The trumpet would sound. Israel would pack up their tents and follow the trumpet, follow the ark, as God kept moving them, directing them. Our subtitle of today's message is, Behold, I Will Do a New Thing. Isaiah 43 is our text. You can see it in your notes or in your Bible, your smartphone, or on the screen. Verse 1, But now, thus says the Lord. When I read the Bible, I never read it as just a historic account of God's relationship with a previous generation, because the Bible is living. It's the voice of heaven. It's God's will. And as you read it, it comes alive to us. May this come alive to you, precious ones, today. The one who created you, O Jacob, he that formed you, O Israel, that was the same person before he had his God encounter, Jacob, then later Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Oh, the God of creation, who has made all things, looked through the prism of his omniscience before the universe was. Ephesians 1 says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. He called out your name, Iverna Tompkins. He called out your name, Melody Joy Putnam. He called out your name and said, you are mine. And nothing could stop, not every demon, not a billion armed demon host could stop that, not all the works of the sinful nature of this. Nothing could stop God from getting you. You are the proof of a living God whose redemption plan through Christ is so strong, nothing could stop it. I have redeemed you. People, please know this. It's in your DNA to overcome because you're redeemed. Your Redeemer didn't just save you from something, he saved you for something. He didn't just save you from your past. He saved you for a future. And he says, no matter what you encounter, I am with you. I am with you. You are mine. Washed in the blood of my son, you have been redeemed. And God says, fear not. All throughout the Bible, like my precious wife said, the evidence of fear is always a place where we have to build our trust. And God says, I want you to trust me. And be unafraid of what will happen in your journey because I am with you. God wants you to live fearless this year. God wants you to overcome the temptation for fear. God wants you to face your fears and fight your fears and overcome your fears. Isaiah 41:10 says this, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not discouraged. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the hand of my righteousness, my righteous right hand. God's got you. You're his. No one can pluck you away from God. No one can steal your destiny. God will never allow another person the power over your life's destiny. You are God's. You've been redeemed. Washed in the blood of Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and a sound of mind. You don't have to keep anything God didn't send you. So spirit of fear, get the H out of here. I'm sorry, between My wife and doctor, I've ruined, I can't cuss much the service. But there'll be Wednesday night coming. We'll make up for it. 1 John 4 says, God, in God's love, there is no fear in love. God wants to love the fear out of you. Come on, someone help me make a t-shirt and say, God's loving the hell out of me. Whoops. Hebrews 13 says, I will never leave you. You'll go through a time in your life when people will, that you think will be with you forever, won't. Sometimes people betray their commitments. Sometimes people aren't faithful. But God says, no matter who leaves, I'm staying. There might be a day, I tell everybody, I grew a church from 4,000 to 80 people. A lot of people walked out. You know who never left me? Jesus. He never leaves. He never forsakes. He never gives up. He never lets go. We have redemption because of Jesus. Okay. Verse 2. Someone say, I'm redeemed. When you pass through the waters, I like it that the scriptures don't in any way give us the promise of a storm-free life. But God does give us the promise of a storm-proof life. When you pass through, stuff happens. Jesus said it rained on the house built on the sand and the house built on the rock. It rained on the just and the unjust. Storms happen because we live in a fallen world. This isn't the same world God made. God made a world. You know, it didn't even used to rain. Out here in the desert, we are twice as much exposed to the sun's radioactive waves because there's no humidity, little humidity here. But back before it rained, it never rained, and God told Noah it's going to rain. And somehow there was a covering of moisture over the earth, and it created such health that the average age of men and women was 900. They were preserved. We found in the fossil record, we have found an asparagus fern that was 65 feet tall. Things just grew, things blossomed, the environment was so perfect. But when it began to be corrupted by sin, the world changed. So when people ask you, how could a loving God allow wars and poverty and suffering? Well, God didn't make any of that happen. It's man's sin and Satan's activity that's responsible for the misery of this planet. The fingerprints of God are never on the evil things that happen in this world. God says, when you go through junk, I'm there. When you go through waters, stormy waters, I will be with you. Tell your neighbor, God is with you. Even when you don't, well, Pastor, I don't feel him. Don't go by your feelings, go by your faith. And through the rivers, the swollen rivers, the flooding rivers, they shall not overflow you. You're not going down. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And you won't even smell like toast. Nor shall the flame scorch you. You're going to go. They put the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. They heated it 7 times hotter than normal. It was so hot that it killed the men that opened the door and put them in. The flames leaped out. But they, when Nebuchadnezzar looked down, he said, hey, help me here. Didn't I put 3 guys there? How come I see a fourth man? And the fourth is like the Son of Man. When you go through the fire, you're going to find out you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a very present help in time of trouble. You have a Redeemer. He's never going to leave you. In your worst day, he'll be your best friend. In your lowest place, he'll be your closest place to God. He's the friend of the brokenhearted. And he's with you. And you're going to go through it, and people won't be able to tell where you've been by how you look. You with me? Kids would come home from playing and be covered in mud or dirt. Or say, are you going to play not in the dirt? No. What gives? But you're going to go through stuff, and people won't be able to tell where you've been until you tell them. Y'all with me? Ah, that's Jesus. For I am the Lord your God, verse 3. the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, your Savior, the God who made you, created you, called you by name, who's with you, who's redeemed you, is your Savior. Come on, someone help me this morning. His name is Jesus. His name is Yahshua HaMashiach. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the bright morning star. He's Calvary's champion. He's the comforter. He's the day star, the deliverer, David's king. He's the Emmanuel, God with us. He's the faithful witness, the forgiver of our sin, the friend of sinner. He's the good shepherd, the great king, the glory of God. He's the healer of the brokenhearted, the hope giver. He's Hosanna. He's the great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the bread of heaven, the good shepherd, the light of the world. He's the justifier. He's Jesus, Yahshua. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lamb of God that takes away our sin, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Mighty One of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, the name above all names, the old only wise God, the Prince of Peace. He's the conqueror, the redeemer, the restorer, the savior. He's truth. He's the spirit of understanding. He's the victor. He's divine. He's the word of truth, word of life, word of grace, the faithful witness. He's yesterday, today, and forever the same. He's the zeal of God. He's your savior. His name is Jesus. Since, verse 4, since you were precious in my sight, since you were precious in my sight. That's the way I feel about my kids and now my grandkids. I don't expect you to love my grandkids. They're mine. They might drive you crazy. They drive me happy. They're precious in my sight. Because if we do, God, what God looks at you, come on. He doesn't turn his face away in disgust. He's not impatient. He's not angry. He's not at war with you. He loves you knowing you're imperfect. Knowing that you have weakness. Knowing that you're human. He gets that. He understands you. But you are precious. There's nothing in the universe he loves more than you. You're so important to God that he would not let life, sin, or Satan take you. He sent his son so he could have you back. You're precious in my sight. You've been honored and I've loved you. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you, warts and all. You with me? You don't have to lose weight to make God love you. Oh, I'm preaching to myself today. Oh. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Ah. Talking to people that had been dispersed. When they were conquered by Babylon, the first thing they did was rip apart families. Men and women taken apart, children especially separated, segregated, given to other occupations and slavery. And God says, I'm going to put back the broken pieces of your family. You're going to run into people this next year and months. You're going to run into people, have people call you, have connections, people way, way back from your past that God is assigned to come into your life again. He's going to rebuild the walls. I've given people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from your kids coming home. Drug free. Heart sealed. Your family coming back to God. Come on, if you can see it, you can have it. God's talking to them. He's prophesying to them. He said, don't worry how bad things are. I know how to put things back together that are broken. I specialize in the reconstruction of broken lives and families and destinies. I will say to the north, give up. Say to the south, do not keep back. Bring my sons from afar. My daughters from the ends of the earth. You see, I stood in an empty auditorium 12 years ago. pastoring 80 people. And I said to the north, give up. I said to the south, keep not back. All those called to eternal life in this ecclesia. I said to the west and to the east, give up. And they began to come. I don't know how you came here. I just know God brought you here. We are the least promoting church in America. You have to pray in tongues often to find our church. I heard about this really great church. Yeah, just pray in tongues. That'll lead you there. God's done it. You're going to make a demand. Listen to me. The devil can't keep anything that's yours once you make a demand in Jesus' name for it to come back. Everyone is called by name whom I created for my glory. I formed them. Yes, I've made them. When you look at someone, so we had all these professional athletes here. It's so cool, their physical accomplishments. Many of them, strong determination, overcoming great odds. But no matter who you look at, God made them. And God wants their gift in his kingdom. You with me? See, when you see a famous person singing, a secular, I don't like Beyonce. She shows too much booty. Well, if we could just get, that was for my daughter-in-law, Melissa. If we could just look at her the way God does, she's one encounter with Jesus away from being the most influential Christian in the world. Thought we'd have more Beyonce fans here this morning. Oh, Pastor, it's terrible. What's that? Oh, no. Just see him the way God does. God said, I made that. Nobody that sings or dunks a basketball or invents something or is great in academics or science, nobody gets that stuff without God. Every gift comes from God, and God wants his gifts back. Call them back. Amen. Instead of complaining about billionaires, start praying for them to get saved. I knew I wouldn't get any amens for that. Okay. Oh, I got to speed this up. You are my witnesses, verse 10. My servant whom I've chosen, that you might know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after. I'm God by myself. I made the universe with six sentences. I said it, and it came into being. I hold the universe in the palm of my hand, a universe so expansive that if you traveled at the speed of light, it would take hundreds of billions of years just to get to the outer edges of the universe. So many stars, there's a number now, 23 zeros with the number in front of it. So many stars. And God says, oh, by the way, I call them by their name. You're my witnesses to who I am and what I'm going to do. Verse 12, I've declared and I've saved. I proclaim there's no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and power, they shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they shall be quenched like a wick. Just watch what happens. Nations rise up against Israel. All they do is poke the eye of God. Watch what happens in these days. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. May God heal you from every fearful sermon you've ever heard. And may God deliver you from every angry message you've heard. Y'all with me? We're not called to beat the sheep. We're called to feed the sheep. And the problem is, lots of people say, oh, that you should come hear this preacher, he's on fire. No, he's just angry. And most preachers that preach angry about your sin are really hiding their own sin. And they're just projecting on you what they're facing, the internal conflict of their own life. So Moses got in trouble one day. God said, speak to the rock, so water would come out of it. The people were complaining, murmuring. Moses was mad. He struck the rock, water came out of it. And God said, why did you strike the rock? And Moses said, all these complaining people. And God says, you've misrepresented me. Now you can't go into Canaan. I'm not angry with them. Stop acting like their behavior determines my love for them. Even when they fail, I love them. Even when they disappoint me, I am with them. Okay, last and most important point today, the last 2 points. Here's what he said in verse 18. Remember not the former things. It's prophetic, it's profound, it's true, it's eternal. It is much more difficult to do than to hear. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. The Message Bible says this beautifully as a reminder to all of us. Forget about what's happening. Don't keep going over old history. Now we're getting down to them. What I want to talk about. The only thing that can stop God from doing great things this year is the memory and attachment you have to last year. If you can let go some stuff, let go some stuff. Mary and I were at a place and someone was behaving, we were trying to talk to someone, they were behaving childless, you know, up, offended. The culture now is allowing, it's licensing people to be offended. Well, I'm offended about, well, the only problem with offense is it stops you from going forward. You can't go into your destiny until you let go of your history. As long as you live in the past, you're dead to the future. So God says, I want to do something new. Before I can do the new, you got to let go of the old. Aphene is the word in the Greek language for forgiveness. It means to shoot an arrow, to let go, to release something. Picture of an archer shooting an arrow. So let me help you. Let it go. Let it go. If you have grandkids or kids, you know what I'm talking about, Frozen. I know every sentence of the whole movie I've seen. My kids say, get ready, Poppy, what's next? I know what's next. The Frozen thing doesn't, I know what's next. I've seen it 72 times. But God says this, if you can let go of that, you can have this. If you can let go of that, bitterness, anger, hurt, pain, when the Lord helped us escape the prison of the pain we're in, he said this to me, if you'll forgive people of what they've done to you, I'll make you forget what they've done to you. Forgiveness releases pain. Forgiveness heals our heart. Pastor, who should I forgive? Everybody. When should I forgive them? All the time. What should I forgive them of? Everything. But you don't know my story. I don't have to know your story. Because he forgave you of everything, he says forgive people all the time of everything. And it's not just because he commands it, demands it, because it makes you healthy. And you can't go into tomorrow when you're still burdened with the bitterness of yesterday. Let it go. Here, Philippians chapter 3, the greatest Christian that ever lived, at least many theologians think so. Paul, the writer of much of the Bible, said this in Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I'm not there. I like it. One of the wonderful traits about my friend Metalark Lemon was he was spiritually always so hungry and humble. Teach me something, Pastor. Teach me. Always learning. Always learning. Paul said, I haven't arrived, but one thing I do. Remember the movie City Slickers? Billy Crystal's talking to this old cowboy, and the old cowboy's going to say, I'm going to give you the one secret of my life, the great secret that I live my life by. Here it is. And then he died. And Billy Crystal says, wake up, what's the secret? But Paul, before he died, says, here's my secret. Everybody hold up your next finger. Make sure it's the right finger. Say, one thing. Okay, so here's the secret to the greatest Christian that ever lived. It's a bipart sentence. It's a two-part principle. He said, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. Now, it's not just bad things. Some people are bound by the memory of good things. They can't enjoy today because they keep comparing it to yesterday. Well, I used to live in a bigger house. I used to drive this. I used to have that. You with me? But one thing about your memory will often play tricks on you. And your memory will often filter things and cause them to seem better than they were. You're having trouble with your wife and you start thinking about that girl in high school. Oh, gosh, that girl was so... Well, if you saw her now, you wouldn't have any trouble with your wife. You with me? Your mind, the devil will try to tell you, well, things were better back then, the good old days. The good old days were never quite as good as your mind tells them. Listen, it's never as bad as we remember, or it's never as good. There's often exaggeration happening in our conscious memory. So when bad things happen, you don't want to be defined. God never empowers, he won't allow one season the power to control the rest of your seasons. The only way it can is if you hold on to it. So let it go. Oh, Pastor, I've been hurt in church. So have I. I don't hate you. Stop hating me. Don't let your last relationship poison your next relationship. Don't let your last church poison your next church. Don't let the past be in the driver's seat. Kick it out. Remember not. If you let him, Jesus will give you your innocence back as if you never went through all the junk you went through. Y'all with me? Don't let your soul, I'm not against tattoos. All my kids have tattoos. So tattooed people aren't going to hell. But why tattoo a masterpiece? That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Why? Hey, that's all I'm saying. Me too. You have my wife has a tattoo too. In her tooth. Her dad has put a little mark on her tooth as a joke. A fish, yeah. I had to explain it. Although I threatened to have the pictures of my grandkids on my back, you know, the Fab Five. And the good thing, the way I'm going, I'll have more space to add more kids in the future, too. So, but you don't want your soul, listen, you don't want your soul to be tattooed and disfigured by every place you've been hurt. He makes all things new. He will give you a love for your spouse after the worst season you've been through with them. A new love. Amen. Now, this is really harder for women. Women have better memories than men because women attach memory to emotion. Men can't do that. Men are compartmentalized. And so my wife will say something, you know, how come you did that? I said, what? Did what? She said, 2.5 years ago. I said, what? I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. You're talking about 2.5 years ago? Remember not the former things, man. These are considered the things of old. Hallelujah. It's under the blood. God wants to do something new. He can't till you let go of something old. Okay? Verse 19. Behold, God speaking, I will do a new thing. Everybody say new thing. Someone here, see what's some soul. New thing. New thing. God's going to... Listen, a new thing isn't just something you've never seen. It's when God does something new with something old. Everybody's waiting for something new to happen. God wants something new to happen in you. In what you have now, okay? I'll do a new thing now. Someone shout now. This is your year. Your year for new things. New hope, new strength, new grace, new vision, new purpose. This is your year for God to make things new. Every 7 hours, your blood is made new. Every 7 days, every cell in your body is made new. In 1 week's time, you're a completely different person. Physically. Your body regenerates. There's 7 days in the week because God never wants a week to last unending. There are 365 days of the year. Years end and years begin because God made cycles of time. God made beginnings and endings. And God says, let me end things so I can begin things. God's really good about turning bad endings into great beginnings. If you will let God, he'll turn your story around. I'm the Lord, I make all things new. That's what he says in Revelation. Verse Isaiah 42:9, behold, the former things have come to pass, yesterday's history, and new things I declare before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. God says, I'd like to talk to you about this year. It's going to be a great year. Don't let this year tell you what it has for you. You tell this year what it holds for you. Don't wait for things to happen to describe what God, you say, this is my year, a breakthrough year. My family is coming together. My business is blessed. My ministry is released. My health is restored. You say it and God can do it. I'll do a new thing. It's going to spring forth now. The word new and new thing is one Hebrew word, chadash. Chadash means new, fresh thing, to rebuild, renew, repair. I just declare over your life, God's repairing stuff. God's rebuilding stuff. God's renewing stuff. Man, it is absolutely incredible. Anybody in life, you'll go through seasons that require renewal for you to go on. Let me close with this. Isaiah says it like this, Isaiah 40. Young men will faint. A young generation will even fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength like an eagle. They shall run and not go weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall rise up on eagle's wings. An eagle, as a mammal, is given the power of renewal life. When they're middle-aged, their feathers are tired and weary. Their body has scars that have never seen the light of day. Their beak dull. God gave them the instinct and the plan for renewal. A great eagle flies to a mountain, finds a waterfall. The first thing it does, it looks for a rock and begins to beat its beak against the rock until its beak is sharpened. The first thing you need to renew your strength is to shape up your word. Is to start saying things in connection and alignment with God. One of the things that makes this weak is our own confession. Then with a sharpened beak, the eagle, who can rotate its head all the way around, pulls out every feather, and for the first time since its infancy, it is now naked, and it goes under a waterfall for 40 days and just lets the water wash over it. And God says to you, if you'll let me wash some of your hurt away, if you'll let me deal with some pain you've not yet processed, some childhood stuff, some stuff from last year or 10 years, if you'll let that stuff, if you reveal it, I will heal it. Then the feathers grow back. Brand new feathers. With oil pouches, and he pops the oil and cascades over the feathers. And after 6 weeks, 7 weeks, the eagle comes down from the mountain with a brand new coat of feathers, with a brand new beak, and it looks like it's been through the spa. You with me? All the eagles say, what happened to you? They said, I've been renewed. God says, if you wait on me, if you spend time with me, if you hope in me, I will renew. If you don't renew your strength, you can't finish your race. So life, you will come to seasons where you must be renewed. But God says, if you give me a chance, I'll make you strong. I worship God. Yes, I love him. Since a boy, I've loved God. But later in life, my worship and my drive to God has been based on my need for God. I need him. Oh, I need him. And my need brings renewal. And my weakness, he turns to strength. I declare that God's renewing your strength this year. You're getting your mojo back. You're getting your joy back. You're getting your song back. You're getting your vision back. Remember when you used to dream and talk about, you're going to get your expectation. You're going to give God a yes before anything happens, then if you give God your yes, He'll take care of the rest. He's going to heal you from the places where you've been hurt and the people that have hurt you. And He's going to make this your best year ever. Would you stand up and give God praise with me? Come on, lift your hands to heaven. You make all things. Prayer team, please join me down front. You make
all things new.
And I will follow. Come on, make this your New Year's declaration. Thank you, Jesus. You make all things new.
You make all things new.
Come on, let me hear you sing it. Strength is coming. Strength is coming. You make all things new.
You make all things new. Yes, you make all things new. And I will follow you forward.
Can we sing the verse of that too? Do we have it ready? I'm not looking back, something like that.
I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over.
Like 17 people here that think there's something so broken in your life that it can't ever be healed. The Lord told me, tell them that's not true. There's nothing so broken that God's love can't heal it. And He wants this day to be a turning point day for you. I want to begin right there. If you say, Pastor, that's me, would you please come forward? Let us pray for you. I want to ask this whole church to keep worshiping the Lord just for a moment. If you say, Pastor, I've been through a tough time this year, man, it's been rugged last year, last months or years. I'm ready for God to do something new in me. Come on, let this be your day. You make all things. Jesus, you do it. Hurting in any part of your life, we want to pray for you. Let this be a breakthrough day. I'll be ministering Wednesday night also, but make this a day of dedication, a day of reception.